The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Good morning. The scripture reading this morning is 1 John chapter 2. We'll be reading verses 15 through 27. You can turn to page 1021 if you'd like to follow along in a Bible from the back of the pew. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Children, it is the last hour, and as you've heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, and it is true, it is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. This is God's word.
Well, good morning again. Welcome to Life Connection. My name's Jason. I'm one of the pastors here. Grateful you're with us. What is truth? That's a perennial question in our world. It's the question that Pilate asked Jesus prior to his execution, and it's the question many of us, friends, family, co-workers are asking in our own day. What is truth? Is truth something that we discover? Is truth something that we construct? We make it what we want it to be? Your truth? My truth? What is truth? If God exists, if he is real, then truth is not something that we create and fashion in our own way, after our own likeness. Rather, it is something that is rooted in the reality of who God is, how he made this world to be, and his relationship to this world. Now, we might wonder, why does this question matter for us? What's at stake here? Why does it matter if some people want to live by their truth and we want to live by a different truth? The reality is, if we don't understand the reality of who God is and what he's done in this world in and through Jesus, then we can't know him, we can't walk with him, we can't understand who he is and what he's like. We have to base our understanding of truth after who God is and what he's done in and through Jesus. We can't do whatever we want with Jesus. That's what's at stake here. We can't make Jesus look whatever way that we wish. We have to come to terms with who Jesus is, what he's like. You see, in and through Christ, we're invited into a vital relationship with God. But that relationship has to be built upon something that's real, that's genuine. It can't be something that we fabricate and we shape and form in whatever way that we wish. And this is important because what we see the Apostle Paul, Apostle John doing is writing to this church who has had these false teachers trying to corrupt the message about Jesus. And in so doing, they are making it difficult for them to understand what it looks like to follow after the Lord. You see, the importance of getting Jesus right is that we might know God. There is much at stake in understanding, rightly understanding who Jesus is. Getting Jesus right matters. That's what we need to understand as we look to God's word this morning. You see, what we believe matters. Verse 18. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they are all not of us. What we believe matters. He says the last hour has come. And they know the last hour has come because of the appearance of this Antichrist spirit, if you will. And this idea of the last hour, the last days, it's not here to kind of give us a prompting to get weird and like think about all kinds of crazy prophetic ideas and this sort of thing. That's not John's point. What we understand from the New Testament is that when Christ came into our world, we entered into what they have described as the last days. And only God knows the timing of those last days, when it is all going to culminate. Only God knows. No one else does. So when they start to tell you on YouTube and TikTok that they know, they don't know. And he says, we know that we're in these last days partly because of these false teachers, these adversarial teachers. They're antichrist, not in the way that they're trying to create some sort of new or different Messiah. They're antichrist, he says, in that they are adversaries to the message of God, to this message about Jesus. It is a false teaching that's attempting to undermine and undercut the reality of who Christ is. In this, then, we need to understand that the idea of doctrine, of teaching about Christ, it matters. It matters. Christianity presents to us an opportunity to have a life-giving relationship with God. I mean, fundamentally, at its core, that's the invitation. Is that you were made for God, you were made to know God, and Jesus has made a path for you to find your way back to him. And you can know him. But the knowledge of God has to be built upon, this relationship with God has to be built upon something that's real. We can all probably think of that friend who, and definitely not you, but that friend who had kind of this fantasy picture of that boy or that girl that they liked, and they had idealized them in their head. And then once they got to know them, it's like this relationship just fell apart because it was built upon something that wasn't real. Well, in some ways, that's what's at stake here when we think about a relationship with God. It has to be built upon something that's real, something that's true, something that's genuine. You see, truth matters. Teaching about Jesus matters. Truth is more than our opinions. It's more than our sentiment. It's more than warm feelings. In some ways, truth, like gravity, doesn't really care what you think about it. Like, it's real. It exists. It doesn't matter. It doesn't really care how you feel. It doesn't make it not true that gravity exists in our universe. And he's raising these issues and pointing to a great contrast between this message about Christ and the message that's coming from these false teachers. Verse 20. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. He's drawing this contrast between these false teachers who have this kind of secret private message. They have this special anointing and therefore have a certain kind of special spiritual enlightenment. They understand things about God that no one else does. But what John is pointing us to is a publicly accessible message about Jesus. It's not secret, it's not private, it's not personal in that way. It's publicly accessible message about Jesus. And this is drawing a great contrast then with these false teachers who have this sort of special anointing and special knowledge. He says, no, you have an anointing that comes from the Holy Spirit, who is confirming within you this message that you heard from the beginning, this word about Christ. That message that you heard from the beginning is being validated in your heart by the Spirit of God. It isn't a private, special, secret sort of anointing, but rather the Spirit of God is taking this public message about Christ, and he's providing for you an assurance in your simple embrace of the gospel. He's drawing a stark contrast because what we believe matters. What we believe matters because if we believe false teaching, he goes on to say, it brings great harm. Verse 22. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist. He who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. What we believe matters because when we believe false teaching, it brings great harm. He's wanting to expose this false teaching so that these followers of Jesus could understand clearly what's at stake. What they're doing, he says, is denying that Jesus is the Christ. And if you remember from where we began in chapter 1, part of what that means is they're denying that Jesus is God who has come in the flesh, because there is a distinction that they make between the fleshy, the material, the physical, and then the spiritual. What really matters and what's really important and what can be pure and clear is the spiritual. The physical is what needs to be shed off. It's evil. It's an obstruction. It doesn't allow us to come into greater spiritual insight. And so there's this distinction that's made, and if that is true, then there's absolutely no way that God could come and take on flesh and blood. And so they would say, Jesus was born into this world, and during that public ministry, the Christ Spirit came upon him. But then when he died, that Christ Spirit left. You see what they're doing? They're saying that Jesus is not God who has come in the flesh. And we know that this is their teaching because John makes it clear in other places in his letters. 2 John chapter verse 7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Or in this letter, chapter 4, verse 2, by this you know that know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. They're denying that Jesus is God in the flesh. Why does that matter? Because if you get rid of the incarnation, you miss the boat. You miss the entire point of the Christian message. You see, Jesus must be God and he must be man if we're to experience eternal life, if we're to have a relationship with him. Only if he is fully God and fully man, truly God and truly man, can we experience healing in this life. Gregory of Nazianzus says, that which is not assumed is not healed. If Jesus is not God who takes on flesh, who takes upon himself a human nature, who takes upon himself the frailty of humanity, who takes upon himself the brokenness of humanity, who takes upon himself everything that it means for us to be human save sin, unless he takes that upon himself, we cannot find healing in the deepest recesses of who we are. He has to be fully man, that he might be an adequate substitute for us. But he also has to be fully God. Otherwise, he cannot be a sufficient sacrifice for the world. You see, this is no intramural debate. There is, eternity is in the balance in how we answer this question. If you deny that Jesus is the Christ, the God who has come into our world and taken upon flesh, if you deny that reality, you cannot know the Father, he says. And therefore, you cannot experience eternal life. There is much at stake. And practically speaking, whatever sadness you feel this week, whatever sorrow you're walking through, whatever physical ailment you're carrying with you, you can know that because Jesus became a man, because God became a man, that you will indeed one day be healed. You're not promised that now. But there will come a day in the new heavens and new earth where you will be mended and made whole. And it's precisely because God became a man. You can't have a relationship with God and you can't have eternal life with God without the incarnation. You see, Jesus bridged the gap that sin created between humanity and God. And he did that precisely because he was the God-man. And so to deny that Jesus is the Christ means that you can't have a relationship with him. But the invitation this morning is to see Jesus for who he is, to believe in what Jesus claims about himself. Knowing who Jesus is, then the invitation is to confess and to repent of our sin. We don't deny that it's there. That's what we're reminded in chapter 1. But we confess it, and we turn from it, and we embrace Jesus by faith. The invitation is to give ourselves over to him, that we might know him, that we might have life in him. And so if you haven't yet trusted in Christ, this is the invitation this morning, to give your life to Jesus, to trust him at his word, to know that because God became man, you can find healing in your life. That you can have a relationship with God and you can have eternal life with him. What we believe matters, because when we believe false teaching, it brings great harm. But what we believe matters because we need to understand safeguards against false teaching. That's where he's going next. Verse 24, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has been taught to you, abide in him. He gives us two safeguards against false teaching, the word and the spirit. The word and the spirit work together in the life of the believer to help safeguard us, that we might not be lured away by deception. There are only two commands in this passage, and they come in these verses. Let the word abide in you. And then at the end of verse 27, abide in him, the Holy Spirit. Those are the two safeguards that God has given us to help protect us from deceptive teaching, that we would not turn away from Jesus to a false teaching that brings no life to us. What he's telling us then is truth is anchored intellectually and experientially. Truth is anchored intellectually in the Word of God. This gospel word about Jesus, it's built upon real history, objective reality. It's not a fairy tale. It's not made up. It's not a moral story. It is built upon something. It is rooted in history. It's anchored intellectually, but it's also anchored experientially, because the Spirit of God, if you've given your life over to Jesus, comes and takes up residence in you, brings about an assurance in your heart that because of your trust in Christ, you have a relationship with God, that you know him, that you can experience eternal life because of him. The Word and the Spirit, they work together to bring safeguards to us. These two safeguards, what you have heard from the beginning, let that abide in you. What you have heard from the beginning is the gospel word about Jesus. That's what we saw in week one. Go all the way back to chapter one in those early verses. What you have heard from the beginning is this gospel message about Jesus. Let that abide in you. It is a public message about Christ. It isn't secret knowledge that's only available to the spiritual elite, the spiritually enlightened. It is a message about Christ that is for all people. And when we ruminate and think on and dwell on that message about Christ, it will help safeguard us against false, idiotic teaching. We won't be fooled by those people on TikTok, YouTube. There's a lot of nonsense out there, a lot of nonsense out there. And if I'm not dwelling in the gospel word, growing to understand God more and more by his word, it is going to be easier to be deceived than if I'm resting in and abiding in this word about Jesus. He says, this anointing that you've received, abide in him. The anointing that you have received is the anointing of the Spirit of God. It's the same kind of language that's used of Jesus at his baptism. Jesus at his baptism, God anointing him with his Spirit. And it's a deliberate play on words, isn't it? These false teachers are claiming a secret anointing that's made them spiritually enlightened. And he's saying, no, no, no. There is a publicly accessible message about God that's available to everyone. And the Spirit of God comes and dwells amongst anyone who gives themselves over to Jesus. That's the anointing that comes from God. And this anointing that comes from God, it verifies this word about Christ. So much so, he says, you don't need any teachers. And he doesn't mean that in an absolute way. That would be kind of silly, John himself teaching us that we don't need any teachers. He's not saying that. He's saying you don't need teachers like these false teachers. You don't need the TikTok celebrities telling you their secret wisdom about life and eternity. You have a publicly accessible message about Christ in the word of the gospel. And the Spirit of God will verify that for you in your heart, providing for you assurance that you have indeed come to know God. Getting Jesus right matters. It matters. It matters because we want to walk in the light of who Jesus is. And if we're going to walk in the light of who Jesus is, it means that we need to think upon this gospel word. By the word, we grow in understanding who our God is. That's how we know God, by his word. And one of the reasons he's given us his word is to protect us from this kind of false teaching. And if I'm going to experience the protection that he's promising to us by his word, I need to spend time with him in his word. I need to read his word. I need to learn how to study his word. I need to think deeply upon the implications of his word, that I won't be lured away and enticed by this kind of false teaching. And as I'm growing to know God by his word, I need to do so with brothers and sisters, walking in gospel community in the local church. It is far more difficult to be deceived when I'm walking with others who are following after Jesus. It is surely the case that in my experience, I have not known one person who has abandoned Christ, turned their back on him, who didn't first turn their back on the people of God. Because it's far easier to become deceived when I'm out here on my own. So instead, I can see that the community of faith is the place where I can wrestle with my questions. Having questions and honest doubts, that's not a bad thing. And the church is to be a safe place to wrestle with those things. And so I can bring my questions, I can raise my doubts with brothers and sisters so that I can come to understand the truth. But the moment I begin thinking I'm the smartest person in the room and I don't need any of you, that's the place where it gets scary. Because now it's easier to be deceived. But the community of faith is a means by which God protects his people. And as we walk in that kind of way together, creating a culture of grace in our church where men and women can wrestle with the most important questions of life. Now do you see how we can live on mission with Jesus this spring? Like, this is why that Alpha course is going to be so valuable. It's creating a space for the spiritually curious who have questions and honest doubts to come and wrestle with the things of God. Is Jesus who he claims to be? This is an opportunity for people, your friends, classmates, co-workers, to be able to wrestle with the most important questions in life. And so who's your one? What if everyone who claims the name of Jesus had one person this spring that we're praying for, that we're asking the Lord to open their eyes and their hearts that they might see Jesus for who he is? What if we're spending time regularly praying for those people and then inviting them in, inviting them with us on Easter Sunday that they might hear the message of the gospel and trust in Jesus by faith? Inviting them to participate in Alpha where they can ask their honest questions, they can raise their legitimate doubts. That's the kind of community that we want to be. It matters that we get Jesus right, that we understand that Jesus' body really was broken and his blood really was shed. And because he is the God-man, that then is the very means by which you and I experience healing. And so this is an opportunity every week through the Lord's Supper for us to worship Christ, to think upon the significance of the incarnation, to ponder the implications, the grand cosmic mind-blowing implications of God become man. And that Jesus did that for you and me. And so if you know Jesus, then we want to invite you to come forward. Take a piece of bread. Take that cup of juice, remembering Christ's body broken, his blood shed, that you and I might know him, might experience eternal life. Getting Jesus right matters. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, that by your word, you have comforted us. By your gospel word, you have made it possible for us to experience healing. Healing of heart, healing of mind, healing of body, healing and mending of relationship with you. All of that is possible because of what you have done for us in and through Christ. And so in these moments, would you help us to experience your mercy, grace, and kindness in a fresh, unique way? Help us to ponder the significance of what you've done for us in Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray these things. Amen.